Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
And today, we are back recording this episode for the first time because I didn't push record last time with Tanner and Lauren.
Hey.
No, but for real, we were getting to the juiciest part of their story last time we recorded, and all of a sudden we're like, we didn't push record. And I was like on the edge of my seat, like, what is about to happen?
I know. Our stomachs were all like in the bottom of our feet because of the whole, oh my gosh, we didn't push record.
It's okay, but you had a free salad. This is not sponsored by Crispin Green, yeah, but it should be.
Well, we got community, you know?
Yeah.
Times
yeah.
Two. Exactly. We got to have a dinner party with headphones on last time. That's what it was. So what you guys need to know is that Lauren is a fitness instructing queen. Tanner is a musician in the house, so should we make him sing?
Whoa.
Wow.
Wait, we're not going to let have her go, like, you know, do some fitness instruction?
They won't see it.
Well, she could, like, you know, instruct a class through the microphone.
Okay.
Give us your best. No. They got to come see me in
elbows
person.
Down, elbows down. Yeah, y'all, check her out. I mean, weren't you just rated the best spin instructor in Dallas?
I was.
Stop it. Oh my gosh, I have a confession to make to you.
Yeah.
I don't like spin.
Wow.
But I bet I would like it if I came to your class.
What do you think, Nico? I think I can make her a believer.
I mean, dude, I just so relate. So my girl Lauren, we connected because we were both spin instructors for so long. Well, I used to be. And so I was like, sister after my own heart. But you could your class is incredible. So you could convince her.
Thank you.
I bet it's so fun.
We'll have you stop by
soon. I'm down. I am willing to try it.
We'll make it happen.
Try that again. I love it. So Tanner's not going to sing for us. Is that what I'm gathering?
I thought we'd moved on from that.
Check him out on Spotify.
I'm not. Well, you can't find me on Spotify.
I thought you were on Spotify.
It's
first time
it's,
I met you, you played me your song
it's
from
hidden,
Spotify.
It's hidden.
On our first date too.
Stop.
Y'all making me look bad on
No,
here.
This looks great. This looks phenomenal.
Speaking of first dates, that's literally why we have you guys on today, because not only are they incredible, but y'all are what? Engaged?
We're engaged. Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And to everyone rolling your eyes right now saying, I'm happy for you, but what about me? You just need to know that these two have a past. These two have been through some things, which is why they are here to share their story with you, to share some of the things that I promise you will apply to your life, to your situation. And our hope is that you will find a little bit of hope hearing these two talk about pieces of their story.
Yeah. And for the girl that maybe has not dated well in the past or not dated men that have treated them well in the past, this podcast is for you, because you're going to hear kind of a men tell all, but now it's an engaged couple tell all. But you're going to hear a male perspective on what it looked like to have a really hard past in dating and now the Lord redeeming it and pursuing a woman well, not based on the world's standards, but based on God's truth. And so I'm so excited. And so, yeah, tell us. I don't even know. Where do we even dive in with them? There's so many things I want to ask them.
I know. I really loved last time how y'all just kind of shared your story. Last time being what the people will never hear. I also loved how I talked about crashing your wedding because I just need to make sure that's a thing. I need to make sure you guys really know and it's on record that I'm coming.
Oh, we can't wait.
Yeah, we got it. The last one wasn't recorded, so you had to say it again.
I had to say it again just to make sure you guys remembered that I'm showing it. No, I'm just messing with you. No, last time you really did kick the breeze for a little while, but then you guys walked through your story in a really fun way. So I think y'all just kick it off. Like, tell us the beginning before you asked her out, like a little bit of your past, Tanner. You want to start there?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up calling myself a Christian wasn't really that way. And I lived a life that was like, hey, I believe in God, but also I don't need God. Mm. And so when I started dating, I got into relationships and we were just living however we wanted to live and pursuing what we wanted to pursue. So there was sexual promiscuity involved and things of that nature. And
this is before Lauren, right?
This is like first relationships.
Okay, cool.
And so, you know, started dating. Yeah, this is not dating Lauren. You're like, hold up, cut it.
I'm inviting these people on.
No, but obviously living outside of the Lord's will for me in my life. And so a big thing in my testimony is that...
testimony for those girls that don't know is just your story, your God story. What the Lord's like done in the past, what he's done now, what he's continued to do.
Exactly. How I came to know Jesus and how he changed me. And so my dad was unfaithful in marriage to my mom. And they divorced when I was 6 months because it was found out that that he had a kid outside of marriage.
Wow.
So a lot of hostility growing up, naturally speaking. But I was like, hey, I'll never be like my father. But then I started dating and I ended up like my father. Mm-hmm. And was unfaithful in relationships and committed relationships. And the funny thing is that I always said that, you know, I don't need God. I'm going to be the perfect husband, have the perfect life, but I don't need God. I don't need those rules. And ended up following my own preferences and finding myself leading to destruction. And so just spent a lot of my life in relationships that were not good, ultimately. And what that led me to was just pursuing the wrong things in relationships. You know, I heightened, you know, things that I would see as like beauty or what's our chemistry like, or, you know, how well do we get along? Is she funny? Like things of that nature that are not necessarily godly and really make a great wife. And so really the first time, you know, dating Lauren, that's probably the first time that I've actually done it well.
Okay, so I want to pause you here because now I want to hear your story, Lauren. Basically give us your 2 minute.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in the church, never missed a Sunday. I feel like I had to have a broken bone or something had to be wildly wrong for us to miss.
Had to be hit by a car.
Yeah.
And even then, you go to the ER after.
My dad would be like, if the bone's not showing, we're still making it to church. So went to church my whole life.
Hallelujah.
Was baptized as a baby, went on mission trips in high school and all of those good things. But I would say that for me, I really grew up with a works-based mentality when it came to my faith. I'm an Enneagram 3.
Come on.
I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but really just was always striving to be the best to get worldly approval. And I feel like I projected that onto God. I'm from North Dakota, born and raised, but I moved to Dallas to go to SMU for college and had a great experience, but just really, wow. A TCU grad just said pony up. Let's stop and reflect on that for a second. Thank you, Nico.
Jesus can bring us all together.
He can redeem anyone.
I can't do it. Y'all sick them. Sick them all the way.
I love it. But I went to SMU and I had a really great experience, but I just started to really like live of the world in so many ways. Started drinking, partying, going out, being promiscuous in a lot of ways. And for me, my faith looked like going to church on an occasional Sunday to absolve myself of the guilt that I felt from what I did Thursday, Friday, Saturday. After I graduated from SMU, I tried to continue pursuing a relationship with the Lord, but it took a backseat in so many ways. I dated men who weren't believers in God at all. And I feel like in a lot of ways, I put my hope in men instead of in the Lord, drifted in my faith, would go to Soul Cycle on Sundays instead of church, which you can find spirituality there, but it ain't living water. And
that's preach. A word. That is.
It's a lot of sweat.
Yeah, a lot of sweat.
A lot of living water.
Not the baptism that I want.
But she's really on it.
Yeah. I have one coffee and then I'm good to go. But all that to be said, I ending that relationship that I was in where he wasn't pursuing the Lord, and ended up dating a guy who was faithfully pursuing the Lord and pursued purity for the first time in a relationship. And to be honest, I did that because that's what he wanted. And I thought I had to do what he wanted to get what I wanted, which was a ring on my finger. And so I wasn't doing it for the Lord. I wasn't doing it for myself. I was doing it for him. But over time, just saw the fruits of that in my relationship and how we were able to grow in intimacy that way, which was so different than other relationships I had been in. And so I just started pursuing the Lord a lot more, coming back to him, serving, being involved in community. That relationship ended up ending 2.5 years in. And it was one of the biggest blessings of my life because I feel like the Lord brought me low in a lot of ways. And I just felt this extreme dependency on him in a way that I never had before, which I know scripture tells us continually that God draws near to the brokenhearted and the low in spirit. And so I feel like since then, I've been able to just be more on fire for the Lord, to love the Lord more than I love Tanner, which I feel like is a first for me in relationships. I was always elevating the guys I was dating above God, which this relationship has just been so different in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful.
Yeah. Would you say you were a girl that just wanted to be married so bad?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a bridesmaid, I think, 15 times.
Yeah.
I was actually a bridesmaid 6 times when I was 29, and I was recently single, so just that pain of not ever imagining being single at age 30, really struggling with that in a lot of ways. So I absolutely have idolized marriage my whole life. And I feel like our relationship actually, ironically, is the first time that I wasn't idolizing marriage, and just trusting the Lord's plan for me. And then it ended in marriage. So
dude,
the Lord works in mysterious ways.
I have so many questions on that, but I kind of want to hear y'all's story together before I like bring back that question. Sure. 'Cause I do want to hear how that was the case. Like, what did that look different? Because you even dated a godly guy before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which one could say is all I need is a Christian guy.
Yeah.
And then everything else will then fall into place. But reality is, it's actually not the guy that comes into your life that's going to change your circumstances or your perspective.
Yeah.
It's walking more intimately with the Lord. It's trusting the Lord, leaning not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledging him, which I know is a big part of your story. So bring us up to speed of how y'all might. This is juicy. A lot of tit for tat. I am ready.
I think we just start at the beginning, right?
Come on.
How do we get to know each other?
Day one.
Yeah.
When I was a young boy.
When I was
started
a young
back
lad.
In 1993.
Saw her from across the farm.
And the I farm.
Said, shoot.
Not the farm.
Neither one of us grew up on farm. how Lauren and I ended up meeting was through a mutual friend. And this mutual friend approached me and was like, hey, would you be interested in going on a date with Lauren? I was like, yeah, let's, you know, see if she would be as well. So,
wait, is that because like the friend showed her Instagram or was it just, okay.
Yeah, that's
she was hot.
Yeah, she was on there spinning a little heart out and I was like, all right.
She's got energy.
She's ferocious.
Your shoulder shake just now was everything. Okay, so you saw her on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because your friend was like, hey, here's this girl.
Yep.
And was your friend vouching for her? Like, hey, she's godly? Or were y'all like...
No, so that's actually a great question. So this friend wasn't... She did mention that she was religious. I'm using quotations for those podcast listeners.
Okay, yeah.
Religious, but... this friend, and we would both agree, and she's a good friend of ours, but not somebody that we would see as like, is probably going to set us up with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Is she a believer?
She is.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, this friend asked me, and she ended up saying, would you be interested? And I said, yes. And so, I guess she then approached Lauren.
Not yet. You're skipping part of the story.
What about her spin class?
You're trying to take me to the spin class?
Yeah, babe.
I thought we were going fast through this one.
Tell us about the spin class.
Hey, listen. The ladies want to know the deets.
The deets. You want to know everything.
Because they're like, how's it going to happen for me? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You
fair
know?
Enough. That's good.
That's fair. So anyway, me and this friend, we were actually neighbors at our apartment. And this friend is also co-workers with Lauren at Lauren's full-time job, which is a marketing manager. So anyway, me and this friend used to take other fitness classes together. And she had approached me before I sent this text to her, but I was like, hey, we should get back into doing that. And then this friend was like, hey, I'm actually going to Lauren's class tomorrow if you want to join me. And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to meet her. It's kind of weird, but like I would go no matter what. So I'm just going to say yes. I go to sign up for the class. It's a Valentine's Day class.
Yeah, it is.
Are you planning this like meet cute? Like I'm going to kind of accidentally fall off my bike. You know what I mean?
Just fling myself forward. Yeah.
I'm going to get a little cut.
Little arrow. Yeah. No, it worked. That's just kidding.
It did not work.
Okay, so what happened? So anyway, you see this girl. You're kind of interested in her from afar. Yeah. And then you go to her class.
So I go to her class. We take the class. Lauren is very, very talented and gifted. And she sells out mostly every one of her classes. So there are 50 people in that class. And it is a whole environment in like, just seeing, yeah,
and she's just working it,
yeah, and she's up there just leading all these people, and it's like it's a lot to take in, and I'm I'm here like first time, and I almost forgot this. So I went in there and I was like, maybe I'll say hi, maybe I won't, I don't know, I'm not gonna like hold fast anything here. This may or may not be the move. And so I get in there, and Lauren does this thing because she's great with getting the people, know people in her class. She says, hey, who's first time taking a class here? And somebody will raise their hand, and then she'll also ask, like, who's first time taking a class with me, personally? And she'll get to know everybody's name. So there was two of us in the class, one girl and then me. And she called out the girl's name. She was like, oh, Kristen, great to have you here. We're so glad you're in the class. And she's like, what's your name? And I was like, Tanner. And she's like...
Did you stutter? This is what I
want to hear. No.
Tanner?
I was like, man. I was like, hey, I'm Tanner.
I'm the man. Yeah. I'm your future husband. Frisky man.
Let's get the wheels back on. Get the wheels back on.
Okay, anyway, you said your name.
So yeah, said my name. And then the rest of the class, she proceeds to call me Jesse's neighbor, who is my neighbor that introduced us.
Oh my gosh. Is it because you forgot his name?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
So I'm just a face in the crowd. This is not my time. Yep. And so class ends. We walk out. We leave. Jesse asked me. She's like, so you still interested in Lauren? I was like, yeah. And so I think Jesse got coffee with you the following week.
Yeah.
Because at this time, like I said, Jesse was like not – we were friends but not like close friends. So – Jesse didn't even know if I was dating somebody and didn't know if Lauren was dating anybody.
Yeah.
And so Jesse was trying to figure out, well, first off, am I seeing anybody? I wasn't. Is Lauren seeing anybody? So she went and grabbed coffee with Lauren and asked if she would be interested in going on a date with me. And Lauren said yes and said, hey, give him contact information. And so I got the contact information and reached out, and we set up a date for the following week. And so... we have the date planned. We're about to get ready to go, but it happens to be the day that a snowstorm comes through.
Dun, so, dun, dun.
Yeah. Now, hold up. It's not the bad snowstorm.
Oh, whatever. It,
the girl's from Fargo, North Very Dakota, dangerous. So I'm like, she can definitely drive in this.
Dangerous conditions.
Because we weren't driving together. First date, blind date, so we were going to meet there. And she ends up texting me saying, like, hey, I don't feel comfortable going on, driving on these roads. And so can we reschedule? And I'm like, yeah, totally. No worries at all. I'm free Tuesday, Wednesday next week, whichever day works for you. And then I get no response.
For how long?
A whole month.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I want to like lean into this like cliffhanger really quick. But first, I want to address something for the girls listening. It doesn't always happen where the guy see. I think. Like hearing, okay, he saw her Instagram and was like, yes, I'd be interested in a date with her. Just so you know, there are guys who like get to know girls and give them a chance without like seeing the physical first. You just need to know that that is a thing. And y'all are going to hear some other encouraging pieces of their story. But I just want to like expel that for a second for some of the girls listening, because that can be a huge insecurity of like, absolutely, I'm never going to be able to attract their attention. I could keep it once I get it, but how do I attract it? So yeah. I just want to like get that out there.
I appreciate you saying that too, because I would say the things that attracted me to Lauren from the very forefront were not the physical stuff.
Okay, tell us more about that.
What I was leading with, and it was the things that Jesse was saying about Lauren.
Okay,
was like, hey, she's like killing it in the workplace. She's like one of the best instructors. Like, and you know, she's a believer, like strong in her faith, stuff like that. And so I was hearing good things about her.
Yeah, you're hearing this girl's hardworking. She's driven. She loves God. Okay, yes, that's good. Yeah. I love it.
And at the time, I'm like, I don't know her very well. I don't know anything about Lauren. I'm just like, it's a first date. There's nothing really to be gained or lost from that. Or more to be gained than lost, really.
Yeah.
And I want to add to that really quickly, because if you guys didn't listen to Single Men Tell All, that was something that those men said as well, is that if you're a girl who they at, I know Lori asked a really good question to them around basically saying, what about the girl that is struggling to get asked on dates? And they said, well, let your reputation precede you. Mm. And I loved that, because so often girls believe, well, I need to look different. But what you heard was like, yes, Lauren is adorable, but you asked her out because of the things you had heard about her. You had a good reputation. And so ladies, once again, it goes back to the conviction. Are you spending more time on your character or on your looks?
Yeah.
Because character is going to have somebody sit down on a coffee date going, you need to meet my friend.
Yeah.
But you're not going to sit down with a godly couple or a man and going, oh, you need to meet my friend. She's really hot. Like, no godly guy's going to care about that, because he's going to say, great, but what about her character? And if they don't have anything to say because you're not developing that, you need to be more focused on what does your reputation say?
Yeah.
What do people say about you?
I think it really is a long run play, like while we're on that subject, because it feels so good when you lose a little bit of weight or like wear a padded bra. Sorry. You know what I mean? And you
preach, sister.
I remember doing experiments like this in college. I'm psycho. I don't know. But anyways, you like get more looks, you know, or when you look, you feel like you look better and you have makeup on versus being in the library and you don't have makeup on and people are like, are you sick? And you're like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
like,
question mark.
Okay, I just don't have makeup on. Like, there really is a tangible difference in the way that you get attention and how that feels. And I think a lot of us can like hold our head higher when we're getting those looks and those glances, and then hold our shoulders down and our head lower when we're not. And you just need to know, like, that's not lasting. So if that's your end game, is to just get an attention from guys who aren't choosing you for the rest of your life, then sure, focus all your energy and effort there. But I think a lot of us want the long play. Like, we want somebody to say, like, I see her for more than just a body. I see her for more than just a pretty face. Like, this girl has depth. This girl has character. This girl can truly be a helpmate to me, and we together can chase the kingdom. And so play the long game like you two have done.
Okay, so yes, catch it up to
cliffhanger. So we're at the cliffhanger.
We're at that month break.
Yeah, month break.
Of where the conversation, the text thread ended, right? So I get a text a month later, and the story doesn't get any better here.
it goes down and it goes up in the fourth quarter,
ladies and gentlemen.
We think this is the valley, but it's still going down.
It's not the pit.
No.
It is the pit.
So the text that comes a month later, it just reads, hey, was driving home, totally remembered, I forgot to respond to this, my bad.
Just nonchalantly a month later.
Yeah.
She's got peace signs up, ladies and gentlemen. Yo. Gucci gang.
Okay, so Lauren, were you playing a game or was something else going on?
That's
there?
That's a good question.
Tanner's like, were you?
I don't want to say I was playing games, but I was in retrospect. So when Tanner initially reached out to ask me on a date, I had actually been seeing someone casually at that time, dating someone. It wasn't a committed relationship. And so in my mind, I was like, well, I can still say yes to this date. But as time went on, I started to just feel conflicted about it. And when the snowstorm came, I literally said, this is a sign from God that I should not go on a date with this guy. And no excuses for the non-responsiveness. I do not endorse ghosting in any way. It's wildly inappropriate of me. But
I just burnt. That was me.
We are all drinking Topo Chico.
We're drinking
right
Topo Chico.
This is also sponsored by Topo Chico.
Yeah. Laura, take comfort in knowing I looked at Tanner when I heard that.
I know you did. And that really blessed me.
It was Tanner.
It was Tanner. But anyways, I didn't respond to him. I was literally turning 30 that next week. And I was having a crisis of life. And when I texted him back a month later, I think I was really just trying to get your validation and trying to get you to ask me out again. Like, I was throwing him a bone, being like, is he going to take it? Even though I wasn't like, if you would have asked me, I would have been like, no. I just wanted to like absolve myself. But I really did want you to ask me out.
And if there's any fellas out there listening, know that I did not ask her out again.
So what happened? So you had been seeing someone else, but you didn't communicate this with him at this point, right?
No.
So you're like, you know, kind of putting feelers back out.
Yeah.
you know, is it because you like actually were thinking about him, or you just were like, I
want validation?
Yeah,
it was probably more of a validation thing. Okay. I mean, I didn't know anything about Tanner. Like, all I knew was this high level description of what I was told, and then he was in my spin class 20 feet away from me. But I think I was just looking for his validation, and he responded, and he was just like, hey, yeah, I've been guilty of the same. So he responded, giving me an opportunity to maybe, like, I don't know if he wanted me to ask you out or what at that point, but he threw me a bone, just not the bone that I wanted, because I wanted the easy way out.
Yeah, I was like, hey, we'll see if this goes anywhere. I'm not going to just not respond.
Yeah. Had you been like really disappointed through that, or is it kind of just like, nah?
It was more like, nah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I guess that's maybe more my disposition.
Okay, so y'all are holding things loosely, if you will, for sure, at that point. Sure. Okay, yeah. It wasn't like we saw each other and we're like, this has to be my husband or my wife, or I'm done for.
It was never that for me. And honestly, if anything, like, I'm like, praise God, I know this is off the table. Mm. You know, like, that's not somebody that I want to, what I'm engaged to now, but not somebody at the time that I'm like, if this person is wishy-washy or can't communicate things, then like, that's somebody I don't want to be with.
Mm, you heard it here, ladies.
Okay, right. So bring us up to speed. How did you guys then eventually get to your first date?
Do you want me to take that?
No, I got it.
Okay.
I want it.
Well, we're on a cliffhanger after the text. So yeah. Like, did you text him back?
I did not text him back.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Just tell us.
Yeah. So then after that, we go another 2 months.
What?
So now we're in May. The first date was supposed to be in February. Mind you, I was approached about this in December. So this was going on for a long time for me. And I get a text from Lauren just randomly out of nowhere. And it says, hey, I think I can totally own up for dropping the ball on this one. And I'm the worst. And it's on me to ask if you want to still go on a date. So would you be interested?
Okay.
And I'm like, huh, interesting. Appreciate the humility. But I'm, you know, every other, like I said, kind of at the forefront, I've dated poorly most of my life. And I, at the time, and like leading into really my transformation from like age 28, and I was pretty new into that. I had a solid group of guys around me. And so I'm like, I'm going to let them speak into this. So I screenshot the message and I send it to them, which it only took one screenshot to send all the timestamps from February to March, or from February to May, because it wasn't a lot of texting. And I'm like, hey, what do you guys think about this? At the time, there was four other guys in my group, including me. It was split decision. Two guys were like, no, don't do it. The other two guys were like, hey, it's a first date. You have the freedom to go on it if you want. And one guy in particular said she was probably going on dates with somebody else at the time, and that's why she bailed on you. If you would be okay with that, feel free to go on that first date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very insightful.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, I feel fine with that. Let's do it. We go on the first date, and we sit down, and we're chatting. And it's probably within, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes of the conversation. And at this point, like, Lauren and I kind of make jokes about the ghosting and stuff, like, made light of it. But in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm going to have to circle back on this at some time to, like, figure out, like, if this is an issue, like, yeah, a pattern, like, what actually went down.
And are you hesitant at this point because of what you'd seen?
For sure.
Okay. Hesitant, maybe a little bit more guarded.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Okay. For sure. I'm just like, hey, I don't know what substance is here and what's going to move forward with this.
But let's see.
Yeah, let's go on a first date. It's a first date. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
And so we go on the first date, and probably within the first 10, 20 minutes, like, somehow the topic gets brought up. I think I made a joke about it or something again. And then Lauren's like, hey, but seriously, I need to apologize for that, like, and ask for forgiveness. You know, I shouldn't have done that, and I was dating somebody else at the time. And it's pretty much what she said here. It's like, I felt conflicted about if I should be dating you and this other guy at the time, and just felt like that snowstorm was, you know, God telling me don't go on this date. And then she was still like, I should have owned up to that and like communicated better to you, and like, that's on me, and I apologize for that.
Okay, so she showed some humility, like, hey,
exactly,
I'm not perfect. Yeah. and here it is, and I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
that's awesome, Lauren.
Thank yeah. you.
And from my end, I'm like, okay. And that really put it to rest for me. Like, there was not really much else to talk about from there, because I was like, hey, She's owning up to her mistakes. She's self-aware of her mistakes. Mm. She's not looking for somebody that's just going to like affirm her in everything she does.
It's good.
And she like realizes that, you know, like where she misstepped and wants somebody to like, you know, and wants to own up to that and like amend that relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's a great quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then going from your first date, did you guys start, obviously I'm sure that you kept going on dates. Catch me up or catch us up to how did the relationships progress? How was this different than what you were used to when you first met on that first day? How were you dating differently than maybe your past? What rules had you put into place for yourself that maybe was like, I'm going to look for these things differently than the past. I'm not going to be swayed by this. Like, kind of catches up what the first few months looked like of pursuing and dating.
Yeah. So I think that one thing that impressed me from about Tanner from the get-go was just how clear he was on his intentions. I think on the first date even that we went on, he was like, hey, what are you looking for? And I was like, hey, I'm dating to get married. And he's like, I'm also dating to get married. So just to hear that, I feel like that's how all Christians should date, but I feel like it's rarely just explicitly said. And so I appreciate it up front. He was very clear on that. Also, you were very clear on how you wanted to date from a purity standpoint and boundaries and expectations. I think on our second date, we dove into that like explicitly. And so he was extremely upfront with that. He was also extremely upfront with his testimony, which you guys heard him talk about earlier, which that's something we should probably dig into and speak about, because I feel like that was something that was really important in the beginning foundation of our relationship.
Okay, so he's sitting here sharing his testimony with you, yeah, and you're hearing, oh, you've cheated before.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's going through your head at that point?
Well, hold on. Let me step in real quick, yeah, for okay, that. Because it wasn't like the first date I came out. So
I am a cheater. You are a ghoster. Yeah. Let's see if we can make this work.
Hey, just two centers. Romans 3:23.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And to give more context, like the last relationship I was in ended in August of 2021. Lauren and I met in May of 2022. So about 10 months apart, right? And that relationship actually ended because of me cheating. Mm, wow. So it was still pretty fresh. And like, it was not the only relationship that I had been unfaithful in. Mm. So, you know, there was a lot of heart change in myself from that period of time. And we'll even dive in probably more later as we continue to talk the story. But after that, I think is when I fully realized like my depravity and how broken I truly was. And that the only way that I could live a life that wouldn't lead to destruction is to fully surrender to Jesus,
yeah,
and give my life over to him. It wasn't, I only need a savior. I needed a Lord of my life.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that I could be right with God. And so from that time is where I just fully surrendered and said, hey, God, whatever is in me that is not of you, prune that of me. And through that season of singleness and really like even changing my friends and who I was letting influence me, I spent probably about 250 plus days, like every morning was in the Word, journaling and like studying it. And through that realized I needed to learn what God defines as a godly husband and what God defines as a godly woman. And then also what God defines as a godly marriage, and let that inform how I go about dating and
that's
pursuing.
Good.
So that became for me, it was my story that I would tell people to encourage them if they were far from the faith to like, hey, this is how God changed me and he can do similar things for you. Mm. And there was something that was very passionate of a strong passion of mine to continue telling that story.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for somebody to partner with in ministry and marriage, it was pivotal for me to find somebody that was going to be okay with me being open and bold with that story.
It's good.
So very early on, not the first date, I was a little more smooth than that, but very early on, I think maybe probably within the first 3 weeks or so, I was like, hey, here's my past. And I know that can probably be a big hang up for you. I'm willing to talk about it as much as you want to, but I can tell you that I have the approval of community to be dating. And I'm using this to minister to people when I'm not still living in it.
Good.
And this is actually important for me to continue to be able to tell people how God changed my life.
Wow.
I love that.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think we can hear a lot of stuff like that and think, okay, that disqualifies him. And we had a girl message us like who was about to go on a first date. And we mentioned this in an episode, but she all of a sudden started hearing about his past and then was like, maybe I shouldn't go.
Yeah.
And that is a huge difference. If a guy like Tanner is saying like, this is my past and guess what? That's what qualifies me for grace. And I am not that That's guy good. Anymore because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that is 100% a man that you want to be with.
Yeah.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, just understanding the gospel better helped me to accept what he was saying. I feel like I used to have the secular mentality of once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do think it's really important to talk just a little bit about like what we did after Tanner shared that with me. So Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And so after Tanner told me that, I was very like infatuated with him at that point, I'll just be honest. So I feel like there was a part of me that was just like, hey, he's saved, no big deal. But I knew that I needed to bring this to other women and allow them to speak into it. And so I just brought the situation to a couple of people in my community, talked through it with them, and just came up with a list of questions that I wanted to follow up with Tanner on. So things like, you know, how have you changed since this was a pattern in your life? What different things you have in place to prevent this from happening again, and just really let him speak into that. Because I think that so often we can just accept things at face value, but this is something I felt like we really needed to dig into. And I think what's so cool about Tanner's story is he's not saying that with any like personal intent. He's like, hey, this is part of my testimony. I want to partner with my wife in ministry someday. So like, I want to be open and raw and share my testimony. And you know, there's a part of me, like I grew up in the Midwest, very private, very, kind of secretive in a way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this for me was like, hey, my partner's going to be fully known. Like that also gives me permission to be fully known too. And then when I speak to young women about my testimony, I feel more emboldened by his boldness and his testimony. That's and good. So I've just seen the Lord like work in my heart in so many ways. And so it's something where I feel like it was not a point of contention right away, but it was something we had to work through from the onset, and something that just showed me right away how good it can be to bring other people in on that. And I'm just like in awe of how Tanner uses his story so boldly. I mean, my parents knew about this like from kind of the beginning. So he shares his testimony with everyone that he knows, and I'm just so like encouraged by him.
Did you ever have people who are like, who didn't see it the same way, who were kind of like, oh my gosh, Lauren, like, no, you can't be with him?
You know, I feel like ungodly counsel, perhaps, but I was really intentional in who I brought that to, looking at what women I really want to speak into my life. And I think that's really important.
That is so good. I want to bring up one more thing, because this story is so good.
Yeah.
Is that you had mentioned earlier that you really, really wanted to be married, mm-hmm. right? And you also didn't just sweep this under the rug.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we really want to get married, we kind of tend to overlook things and we miss a chance for intimacy and healthy relationship because we're just like, it's fine. Just get me to the finish line.
Yeah.
And God had probably done a lot of work in your life to where you're like, hey, this is worth leaning into and pressing into, even if it means I uncover something that says this might be a no.
Absolutely. I just feel like this is the first relationship that I've truly held with an open hand.
That's
like,
good.
I just feel like I was squeezing my past relationship so much, and I was so focused on the end goal that I was blind to what was happening right in front of me and overlooked just so many things that could have saved me a lot of heartache. And so I feel like with this relationship, I was like, hey, I'm just going to take it a day at a time.
Good.
And you
know
what?
How did you get there though?
Man.
Like, what, not tips, would you give to that girl? But I don't know a lot of girls that hold that posture.
Yeah.
What would you say to the girl that's going, I just can't let go of control?
Man, I feel like
good question.
That's a great question. And again, like I said, I'm an Enneagram 3. I feel like I'm a leader in a lot of spaces in my life. And I feel like as women, we often see like the vision or the end goal. And so often we're like, hey, well, if he just does these four or five things, he changes these habits, then he'll be a great husband. But I think that for me, how my mindset changed was just really understanding like God's word better. Just understanding that God like has good things for us, and also just understanding that the end goal is not like the best marriage. The end goal is growing closer to Christ.
It's good. It takes a lot of wrestling. It takes a lot of behind the scenes work to get to that space.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just allowing like other godly women to speak into that, just understanding God's word. Because I feel like this is the first time when I was brought low that I really just found that intimacy with the Lord.
So then Tanner, tell us how. Did y'all break up at all, or did you just date all the way through and then get engaged?
That's a good question. So we didn't make it official boyfriend-girlfriend title until like 3 months after our first date. So that's probably a pretty long time for most Christian relationships, I would assume.
Were you unsure? Like,
There were some things there. Some of it was practical. So when we met, we were both traveling a lot. I was on a mission trip. Lauren was out of town for 10 days in Europe.
Out there. Yeah. Sounds like somebody else I know.
Who else travels in this room? Not me.
And then she was gone for 3 weeks back home in Fargo. So And I was in a very busy time with work as well. So it's just a lot of things that were working against us, but we were just staying in touch and continuing to like go on dates whenever we had the time. But it did kind of get to the point where it's like, hey, we need to figure some of this stuff out. Like it's got to move on or it's not going to move on. You know, I think I'd probably let Lauren speak to this more, but I think whenever I found Lauren and we met each other, she was actually not a member of the church at the time, which to me was a red flag.
Okay.
And I told her that. And we actually got to talk through that stuff. And what was confusing to me is like there was other fruits in her life that I saw in other ways, and that she was like, you know, yielded to God and being obedient and had a desire and a hunger and a thirst to like grow closer to Christ. But that was not lining up. And so I was like, hey, what's going on here?
That's good. I'm glad you asked her, you know, because I think we like vacillate between two extremes in the church where it's like, wait, there's one quote unquote rule that she doesn't fit. And it's like, okay, well, let me just ask her and have that conversation instead of like, I'm holding on to this or being like, nothing matters, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just context on that. So the previous relationship that I had been in, you know, we went to church together and just our spiritual lives were very intertwined. I feel like after that relationship was over, I had this extreme intimacy with God one-to-one, but I feel like I also was really angry at God. And I feel like a lot of that came through me just not fully trusting, like diving into a church again. Not that I didn't believe in the local church and not that I didn't, you know, fully support that. And I loved being in church, but just the thought of starting over at age 29, age 30, being like, I have to find a new church and I have to find people to sit with and I have to like go alone. Mm-hmm. And that was just hard. And luckily I had women around me who were like, hey, come with me and my husband, like just come back. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I was dragging my feet on like becoming a member of the church. I was in a community group at the time. I was, you know, reading God's word. And I feel like a lot of those things were great. And what I appreciate about Tanner is that didn't disqualify me, but he had questions and I was able to give him that context, but also he's like, okay, well, what's your plan for that?
That's good.
Another thing I appreciated is I was regularly going to a different church and I love that he wasn't like, hey, I want you to start coming to Watermark with me. He was like, hey, I feel like you're like doing all the right things. I was going to Shoreline City and he's like, what's your plan on diving deeper at Shoreline? And so I was able to like, that was kind of the nudge I needed. Yeah. Like I was 99% of the way there and needed that 1%. But I think the biggest thing I want women to know is like, I wasn't doing that for Tanner. It was almost like the Lord was like, hey, Lauren, you're almost there. This is just one more nudge that I need for you. And like working through Tanner. So that was something that we had to work through.
When you had other people already telling you to do that.
Oh, my therapist was like, oh, man. You listen to him. I've been telling you this for months.
That's a good
But I love this though, because it's making me, you continually, Tanner, were pressing into the 250 days that you had spent with the Lord of what a biblical marriage looked like and what a godly woman looked like. And you were asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I often don't hear a lot of times. It's all based around emotions and feelings, and you were very clearly into Lauren, but I don't hear of like, I don't know. Like I kept going back and forth on how I was feeling. Can you walk us through a little bit more of what that process looked like? Not being run on emotions, talk to the girl that is being run on emotion. Cause what I'm hearing a lot of in your story is I don't see any emotion as you were navigating dating Lauren. And I'm sure there was feelings, but you were, where are you with this? Where are you at this? This is my story. Are you willing to be a partner in this? Because I want to do this in ministry. And you were really looking down to what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
Yeah. There was definitely emotion there and like emotional connection and stuff like that. So,
and were there moments where you were scared? Were there moments where you were like excited?
Yeah. Like there was conversations that I think I led with. One of our tougher conversations is like, hey, I don't want to do this, but you know, like this is something that like, I feel like that is hanging me up and we need to talk about it.
That's good.
But as I was just looking to like what a godly woman was, and also what like a godly relationship means. And Ephesians 5 talks about that. It essentially says that marriage is symbolic between Christ and the church. And so I knew that God had put it on my heart to have a marriage that was symbolic of Christ and the church and actually live that out and do ministry together.
Yeah.
I knew that like I needed a partner that could come alongside me. So kind of answering a few different things that we've already talked about and the question that Nicoletta is asking, to start the few things we already talked about, like what actually attracted me to Lauren at the very forefront? The fact that she is like a leader of people let me know that she could step in and if we were to, you know, meet a young girl that like needed counseling or needed help or like needed some discipleship, like Lauren could step in and lead her in that in a way that I just can't. Mm. And I can't connect with her in that way. And probably in a lot of ways, it's maybe unhealthy for me to have that type of relationship with her anyway. And knew that we could partner in tandem and be leaders for maybe a couple, a younger couple that we're talking to or something like that.
Love it.
And I saw somebody that like had the potential as I got to know her better and is doing this with other women already, but had the potential to be somebody that I could admire their faith. Like I could cheer on and I could see that and be inspired by her faith.
Yeah.
And so those are the things that like continue to attract me to her. But then as Nicoletta was saying, like there were some things that I was unsure about. And one of those things was just church membership and where she was in her faith whenever I found her. And we didn't know each other from anybody else. So like we're trying to figure each other out. And what I just knew and learned and what God had taught me through that long season of spending time with him as like as being a leader in a relationship as a man is like my calling. And leadership doesn't always mean that I know all the answers, but it means that I'm willing to step into the conflict and open the door. And like that's what marriage will be is going to be constantly having to talk through hard situations. So we might as well start working on that now.
That's good. What I'm hearing from y'all, like through everything that you've been saying, is a sober-mindedness. Mm. And I think, especially as we're younger, I'll throw myself under the bus. I ran on a lot of highs and lows, and I kind of loved that chaos in relationships. Mm-hmm. It's what I had known. It's what was comfortable. It's what I ran back to. It's what made good country music for my country music days. You know what I mean? And I think
the
a
Taylor
lot
of Swift songs.
Oh my gosh, the breakup songs are those are the best. You know, so I think I was just careless with my heart, and I also allowed blinders to be put on because I just I wanted what I wanted, and I think a lot of girls, especially as we're younger, we look for the high highs of dating and romance. And then when something like pops up that is worth leaning into, we don't because we just want what we want. Mm-hmm. Or when like an actual steady relationship is available to us, it doesn't feel like as exciting and it doesn't feel right, quote unquote, because we're used to chaos.
Yeah. I actually want to touch on that specifically because that is like my past.
Okay.
Is that, I was probably attracted to girls that were more difficult. Like there was a chase involved.
Yeah.
And even in the relationship in times where things were like good, I was rather consciously or subconsciously creating dynamics to make it more difficult.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I kept coming back to with Lauren as like we were dating early on, but even as we were like getting more serious and like going through the marriage ministry at the church and like, hey, are we going to get engaged or not? I just kept coming back to the fact that like she brings peace to my life and in a state of calm and like settledness, and that she's there and like she's into me, and it's okay to be with somebody that's into me and just like there and doesn't bring drama. Like even in situations, what I learned through our engagement process, which I guess we can transition to that now.
Yeah, I want to hear. I really want to hear what made you sure. So I'm sure this is where we're getting the meat.
One of the big things was in our engagement process, I'm like a very, very analytical thinker. But I know there's like some confusion here because a lot of my past decisions were driven emotionally from a relational standpoint. But I think that's like putting too much weight on infatuation and those type of things.
Yeah.
And so whenever maybe I like overcorrected a little bit, but it was what I felt that I needed to push the relationship into engagement or make a decision not to get engaged. And that was like a hard, probably, I mean, 6 weeks of us just like literally every conversation we had felt like a war of just like, hey, what about this? What about that? How do we agree on this? How do we align here? And just having very, very deep intentional conversations. And it was exhausting. It was tiring. And that's even like where I think I learned a lot from a leader standpoint of like, I'm tired and don't feel like talking about this, but we need to come to a decision to be just respectful of each other's time in this. And we need to step into it. And like, we need to talk about this stuff.
That's good.
And so like, quite frankly, I was the one bringing the chaos to the relationship.
Why? Tell us why.
Well, just because of the way I was like asking Lauren questions of like, hey, do we align this way on living out our life? What does ministry look like together?
So was it actual chaos or was it just more like difficult, like hard? It was hard, but in a good way.
I'll actually let Lauren answer that one.
It was controlled chaos. It was good chaos. I think that, you know, I think I definitely got there before Tanner of being ready to get married.
Okay.
I am much more just like trusting. Would you say like I'm just trusting in nature?
Okay, hold on. So pause. Yeah. So what was happening when you were asking those questions is you're trying to decide if you're actually going to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Is that the real talk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you feel that from him?
Absolutely.
I mean, I communicated that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I want to pull the trigger. So answer these questions correctly or I'm out.
our last year weighs on this.
Yeah. Keeps a checklist. I'm like, all right, you've got two in the red, three in the green.
He had a little ledger where he's like,
which that can be so scary as a girl because we just want somebody to look at us and be all in, you know what I mean? And we don't want to have to perform. Did you feel like you had to perform or what was happening in your head during that?
No, I feel like he was guarding my heart really well. And okay. I knew the heart behind what he was doing. I mean, neither of us wanted to step into a marriage where we weren't aligned because we're just going to make each other miserable.
Yeah.
If he has one vision for his life and my vision for my life is different, then why would we get married? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I don't want that either. And mm-hmm. so I think that, of course, there is a insecure and selfish part of me that just wanted affirmation from Tanner all the time. Like, I just want him to tell me that, like, I hang the moon.
Yeah.
And everything I do is perfect. But that's not life. Of course, I was scared. We hadn't said I love you yet, but I did deeply love him at that point. But what I did take a lot of comfort in is I just had this overwhelming peace from the Lord of, like, if Tanner is not yours, that means there's something better out there for you. Mm. And either that's a better relationship or either that's something that your life is being called to that's different but better. Mm. Because the Lord is not going to withhold good things from us. I had a hard time conceptualizing what that would be because Tanner's the best man that I've ever met. I can say that with full confidence. But I just had this peace about me. And was it hard? Was it emotional? Were there tears shed? Of course. But I also respected him because I feel like he knew my story. I had been in a 2.5 year relationship where clarity was not given, promises were made that were not kept. And I feel like from day one, he was committed to guarding my heart. And that doesn't mean that he's going to avoid hard conversations. It means he's going to lead us into hard conversations so that he can avoid breaking my heart when we're married.
Yeah.
Because that's not what either of us want. So yeah, it was hard. And I had moments where I was like, you are overthinking this in every sort of way.
But yeah.
I feel like he did lead really well throughout that.
But through that, I think we had maybe dated for 9 months at that time, by the time we started stepping into that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to know each other really well and we were asking tough conversations, but it was kind of make or break. So it's like, let's put all the cards on the table and figure this out.
Yeah.
And so there was pieces of me that I was like, hey, I just don't think you've seen all of me yet. And she got to see that through the decision-making process of seeing how meticulous I can be through anything.
Yeah.
And that was honestly, like, from an emotional standpoint for me, like, something I was like, hey, is this girl going to be down to stick it out with me when I am needing to go through this process to figure out if I want to make a decision or not? This is engagement or buying a house or other things of that nature.
Yeah. And I think just one other thing I want to say is that I feel like on the surface, Tanner has like everything that any girl would ever want. He's very handsome. He's tall. He's a leader. He's faithful. So I feel like for him, he was like, hey, I want you to just know all of me, not just the things on the surface that people like love about me, because he's so universally loved. So I just really appreciated that. And I think I've been able to see that analytical approach already in different areas of our life as we've been engaged. So I just appreciated you.
Yeah, that's actually really healthy too. Yeah. Like from both of you guys' standpoint of just like, hey, I really want it to be out on the table. Like, this is what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people like try to become what the other person wants. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that work. And then they get married and then the shoe always drops. Mm-hmm. It always drops. And some of the like hardest marriages that I see in like the whole married world are people who pretended to be something because, you know, you just can't keep that up for so long. So I love that y'all both had like here it is, like, here I am, you know? And if this is going to like be a deep love, we have to be deeply known.
Yeah.
So then what made you sure to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What got you to the point? And it sounds like, Lauren, you were in love earlier on. You were, I mean, obviously I relate. You are, you were 30. You had almost been married before. You wanted marriage. Obviously that doesn't mean that he was the best next option. We're just going to go for it. But from your perspective, Tanner, I think that is one of the best questions we get from a lot of girls is, how do you know that he's it? How do you know if you're sure? How did you know? And what would you speak over the girl or the guy that's sitting here dating unsure?
Yeah. So there's a lot there. I think kind of what I was saying is that when we started stepping into those conversations, I knew that it was going to be hard. Like, I knew going into it. I don't think Lauren quite knew how hard it was going to be. And I was just like, this is going to either make or break us. And through that, I was able to see that, like, even when, like I was saying, like, I'm bringing the chaos to the table, like, she's still in it with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's trying to work through it with me. She's not bringing more chaos to the table.
That's good.
And she's actually like in the fight with me, and we're fighting together and not against each other.
That's good.
And we're trying to come to an agreement that is really seeking the Lord through that, like whatever God would have for us through that.
Yeah.
And I think as I just continued to process and think through that, I kept coming back to just Genesis, God talking about with Adam, like a helper fit for him. And I saw a lot of the ways in which Lauren was very like uniquely compatible with how I thought and how I process through things and how I operate.
Yeah.
Does that mean that we will have a marriage that is lacks conflict? That we've already had conflict and engagement, like knockdown, drag out stuff. But it lets me know that like she has shown me that she's willing to fight for us and not fight just from her corner. Mm. And she's like, hey, let's meet in the middle of the ring. Let's come to a conclusion together.
That's good.
And so that was you know, probably one of the bigger things. In the entire time, I was including community. Like, I was seeking the guys that had walked with me for those 2 years, from whenever I had that really like kind of life, you know, catalyst moment to changing, to surrendering everything to God. They had seen me on the other side of that, and they'd see me now. And then I was seeking like discipleship from older men that had walked through that before me. Some guys that were maybe just 2 years into marriage and some guys that were 10 years into marriage, and asking them to speak into my life and discern, hey, is this a healthy relationship? Is this something that should go forward? And I was getting green lights from all of them and still feeling, you know, like as I was seeing Lauren and I work through this, seeing the good that was being created and forged from it. And even full disclosure, like even in that, like there was still unsettledness and anxiety, but I felt that I had peace from the Lord through that.
Yeah.
And I could even talk about how I think early on I was leaning too much on my own understanding, as Nicoletta was quoting the Proverbs earlier, was leaning too much on my own understanding and not enough on prayer and dependence. And as I leaned back to prayer and dependence, I felt more peace from God about moving forward and understanding, hey, you will never know everything about this woman, but you know enough that she makes a incredible partner and is uniquely a helper fit for you.
That is so good, because we get crippled by decisions like that. And marriage is a big deal, but guys and girls alike, and it's hard to be on the other end of it. It's hard to be the one who feels crippled when you're like, there's this awesome person in front of me, and why can't I just, you know, push past this? And it's something that I've seen and found. If there's not sin there, if there's not like some overwhelming like sense of unrest, unsettledness, if it truly is anxiety and you're like, they really are incredible, sometimes leading up to the decision is worse than actually making the decision. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Once you actually make the decision, you end up feeling a lot more peace. It's just like the fear leading up of like, am I going to make the right decision?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did that ever happen after y'all got engaged? Was it ever like, did I make the right decision?
Not for me. Actually, I would say I think I've been able to be more emotionally led like since making that decision.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that one thing, like I mentioned earlier, is like we didn't say I love you until we got engaged. And that's actually something that's actually when I blacked out at the proposals the first time I heard him say it. I was like, pay attention. Yeah. And then he said it and I was like, oh, it's all out the door. Yeah. But I think one thing I really appreciated about Tanner is he never said the words when we get married until he told me, hey, I'm going to propose. We are going to get married. It was always if we get married. And that was like, I of course wanted to hear him say when we get married.
Yeah, you're like, it's a slap in the face.
I hated it. And we're talking like right before he told me he was going to. That's a story for another day. But I feel like he just guarded my heart so well. And he was like, hey, Lauren, like when I propose, I want to be all in. And to me, when I propose, that is me saying like, we are in this. There is no, it's not an option period anymore. Like we are moving forward. And so as much as that pained me during our dating season, I wanted all the affirmation from him. I wanted to hear when you're my wife, when you're the mother of my children. Him waiting made that so much sweeter. And also he guarded my heart so well throughout that. And so, yeah, I would say for both of us, like once that ring was on my finger, It was all speed ahead.
So you're fighting this battle, though, through it of, like, not putting your security in him. Because truly, that's what I wanted. That's what a lot of us want. Like, we want to hear that immediately because it takes away our need to depend on God. It's like, he's giving me all of my yeses that I want, which is secure love, which is affirmation, which is the promise to stay.
Yeah.
And guess what? Like, there is a dating period that is healthy where it's like, you're not getting that because Jesus has already given it to you. And right now he's the one that is supposed to give that to you right now. Yeah. Stop looking at that guy for it and wait. And then it's going to be really sweet one day when you get to hear that yes, you know?
Absolutely. And I just feel like throughout our dating, throughout just dating in general, the Lord has really worked on my dependence on him. And in these low seasons with Tanner, where we were having these tough conversations, I knew I needed to be in the Word daily, journaling, you know, being in community with other women. And if it was just smooth sailing all the way through, I don't know if that muscle would have been grown in the way it has been. Mm. And I'm just so grateful for that because we've already faced trials since being engaged. I feel like actually there's a lot of attacks that happen once you get engaged because, you know, the enemy sees all the work that we're going to do for the kingdom together. And it's
he hates godly relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we felt godly that marriage in a lot of ways. And so I'm grateful for the dependence that Tanner's leadership like made for me on the Lord, recognizing that like we're both going to let each other down and there's only one person to turn to who can fix all of those things.
And I love what you said when I asked the question of like, how did you know you were sure? You never said, I just felt. You never use that language. And I think so often what I'm hearing in both of your stories is complete dependence on the Lord. And also having really hard conversations, because if you listen to my story on my podcast, you know that in the relationship that I was engaged in, I wasn't honest. I didn't say this is what I actually want because I was fearful of rejection. And so what I'm hearing that what has made it to the point that you were confident in getting engaged, aka to answer the question that so many of our listeners ask is, how do you know if you're sure? It's you were 100% honest and you asked really hard questions.
Yeah.
Step one. Two, you sought really good counsel.
Yeah.
Step two. Now, then step three is that you abided daily with the best counselor there is. And so often we can just sit here and go, well, I don't feel, they don't look, they aren't this, they aren't that. And that's not what we're dealing with right now. You were sure because you asked hard questions. So for the girl that isn't being honest, be honest, because I can tell you, you would rather have a ring on your finger and sit here like Lauren is right now, so wildly confident, even more confident after she put on a ring on, unlike my story, which had a ring on her finger, it had the perfect engagement. But man, I was never honest, and that's what got me there.
Yeah. Mm.
And so I would rather have been honest going, hey, I don't think that's where I want to live one day.
Yeah.
And have a breakup, have rejection, than a broken engagement. And so, ladies, have the hard conversations. Be honest when they ask the hard questions, because I'm telling you, there's more heartbreak on dishonesty than being honest. And that's what I love about your story. And that's why it's so powerful. And that's what I hope that for those that are listening are gaining, that so often we hear, or I think not even hear, but mostly believe, if I'm fully known, I'll be fully unloved. Or if I'm fully known, I'll be rejected. But what I'm hearing both of you say is, no, we were so fully known. That's what made us get engaged.
Yeah.
Like you just confess, like, I actually felt known by Lauren, and not the Tanner that everybody knows, but the deepest parts of me. So y'all, and I'm speaking this over myself, and this is something that I have women that are holding me accountable in the next relationship I get in. You are getting 100% Nicoletta, or you're not getting me at all.
It's good.
Like you're getting what I want in life. You're getting the vision I have, because in God's kindness, sitting at 30, I'm sure you can relate to this, Lauren. You know what you want when you grow up. Mm-hmm. You have a very clear picture of the Lord, that this is the direction I'm actually sprinting in.
Yeah.
And so you can either sprint alongside, or I'm going to be single. Because I'd rather be single. And so I love the picture that y'all are walking in, the picture that you have painted today, because I don't hear that very often. I often hear a lot of girls my age that are sitting here, but he just doesn't give me the feelings. And I'm hoping that those girls get to listen to you of like, but these amazing godly couple, a marriage that I respect even more now listening to your whole story. This is the lenses you should be looking through. Yeah. This is how you should approach dating. And it's not anything to do with looks, anything to do with emotions, or anything to do with feelings. Those come and are there. And I can see that just by the way you simply love and adore each other. But it's not the thing driving. And it's so refreshing.
And I think what really marks the difference is a good point, Nicolette. I think what marks the difference is a lot of people who feel that weirdness, like you're not really actually looking for the answer in scripture. You're not really actually taking all those feelings and like, you're just trying to process and make a decision versus like, God, here it is. Is this a yes or is it a no? You know what I mean? And I'm okay with either answer or being honest with God of like, I'm not okay with that, but I trust that you've got me, you know?
Going to counsel that can see.
Exactly. Yes,
I think that's the most important is, I love what you said. Somebody recently said, I talked to a couple and they, all anxiety disappeared when they got married because it was the decision fatigue that freaked them out. Mm-hmm. But he walked by, you line up to everything in scripture and you line up to everyone in my life saying, go, she's incredible. Yeah. That when they walked down the aisle and got married, all the anxiety disappeared because it was like the phobo, the fear of a better option disappeared.
Yeah.
But he was led by wisdom and biblical truth rather than feelings. And so final thing before we wrap this whole thing up, is just, what do you want people to hear from this podcast?
Yeah, I think that you're hearing a lot of our story was not all just a smooth road.
Yeah.
And I think Laura was hitting on this earlier that no matter what season you're in, there's only one source that you can find true dependence and peace, and that is through Jesus. And so in singleness, your answer is turning to God. And like Nicoletta was saying earlier, we were processing through scripture, we were processing through community, and we were processing through the word of God or through prayer and dependence. And those things are still applicable no matter what season you're in. And anything outside of that, you will never be fully fulfilled no matter what season you're in.
Good.
So you get the ring on your finger, there's still trials and tribulations ahead of you with that person. Mm-hmm. And you will have probably issues with that person, as we have had already, in that season. And your dependence and your peace still comes from the Lord.
Yep.
And then I'm sure Laura can talk about in marriage, that will still be the case. Yep. When you have your first kid, that will still be the case. No matter where you are in life, your peace has to be rested on a firm foundation, which is your relationship with God.
It's good.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think just one thing I want to encourage women in is like, keep waiting for what the Bible calls us to in marriage. I mean, it is a high calling in marriage, both for a man and a woman. And I think that so often I see women settling, and I just can't tell you what a difference it's been getting to date someone and be engaged to someone who is truly a Christ-like leader in every way, whose foundation is built on the rock, not on sand. Like Tanner said, we will inevitably let each other down in every sort of way. But it's knowing that, hey, 5, 10, 20 years from now, the source of Tanner's truth and his light is going to be the exact same, no matter what trials life throws at us. And so if I can just encourage one woman, like, keep waiting well. And I know it's hard. I didn't get engaged until I was 31 years old. And I know some of you are older than that. And you're sitting here saying, when is it going to be my turn? It is worth the wait. Do not settle. This is the most important decision you'll make in your entire life. And as someone who's dated really poorly and made a lot of sacrifices for men, I just want to tell you that, like, there are men out there ready to honor you and care for you and encourage you and push you closer to Christ.
Ugh, you guys, I want every single girl listening to this podcast to just sit down with y'all and learn from your example. If you have a history, if you have a past, like, God can redeem it.
Yeah.
And if you are the girl who latches on to a guy for security, God can redeem it. If you are the guy who has been unfaithful or the girl who's been unfaithful, God can redeem it. If you are the girl who ghosts, God can redeem it. Like, God can do anything, y'all.
Yeah.
And there, like, what I hear from y'all is, like, play the long game.
Yeah.
Like, look for Jesus. Find Jesus. Play the long game, because you can go for attraction. You can go for what just gets you what you want right now, or you can go for what is actually lasting. What is actually good. I'm going to find that. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And if a guy or girl that is like running alongside me fits into that, then I'm in on that person. Oh, y'all, so good. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a great conversation, and I wish we could just keep it going. For those of y'all who want some next steps, I actually have a resource that just came out, and it's all about helping you become more dateable, to kind of digging up some of those heart things and also moving into the practical of like, okay, why am I always extra around the guys that I like, or why do I run away from them, you know? Or like, let me actually get down to the heart of why I'm trying to get my emotional needs met by a guy who isn't choosing me, and some of that stuff. So I walk through that stuff in this resource. Find it at Laura K. Eldridge. We'll share it on Caller Holy. If you're in the Fort Worth area, go to Noble with Nicoletta. You have to.
Go to Lauren's spin class.
Come on. Spin class and come hear Tanner's next concert. And
come on. Or Noble. We got two fitness classes and a concert coming up.
He is singing at our wedding.
Oh, that is going to happen.
It's a little surprise.
Okay, we're going to have to get a little clip and share it with everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It'll be a follow-up.
Y'all, I know. I can't wait. Y'all, thank you so much for being for here. And thank you for following Jesus and being an example to so many people right here and through all the other things you're doing of what it looks like to just be walking pictures of grace and to pursue the King together, because that is what is lasting. That's what matters. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, Nico.
Girl, come on. It's all Jesus. Y'all, thank you for being here. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you. And take Lauren's spin class. Check them out on Instagram. They're the cutest couple ever. We love you guys. Have a great day.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.